In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I don't think I've had as many funny brief conversations around the altar in all my ministry than I've had in 1 year here with Anne-Marie. Just before she comes down to the gospel, I ask her for no good reason, am I preaching next Sunday? And she said, yes. And then she said, boy, I was worried. I thought you were going to say, am I preaching today? Professor Angela Duckworth begins her book by sharing a personal story. She says that in her childhood, she was constantly told by her father that she was not a genius. And he not only underestimated her intellectual potential, but told her that he was worried that she might never have a career that was worth having. Fast forward 30 years or so to 2013, when psychologist Duckworth was awarded a MacArthur Fellowship, which is known in the trade as the Genius Grant. It was after winning this award that she realized a person's accomplishments have more to do with her passion and perseverance than his or her talent. In her childhood, she was not considered smart enough to qualify for talented or gifted programs, yet she has managed to accumulate degrees from tough schools and especially the MacArthur Fellowship. She writes in her book, "There is something that matters more than talent. It is grit. Being gritty," she says, "helped me survive despite the fact I wasn't the brightest in the classroom." And all of this laid the foundation for her book, which came out this year, Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. So the title of my sermon, True Grit and Healthy Too. Yesterday, I had the sad, but it was also a joyful privilege of scattering ashes at sea. It was a very long journey, but it gave me time to talk with new friends and family of the deceased. I asked one young lady whether she could help me with my sermon today, and I mentioned Angela Duckworth's book. She said she had bought it. I said, "Have you read it?" And she giggled and she replied, "No, I haven't got round to it yet." So much for grit and for perseverance. Today, Jacob, the cad, the cheater, the con man, wrestles with God. He perseveres. He shows true grit, of which John Wayne would be proud. Now, this is not uncommon amongst Old Testament stories, but this story in Genesis 32 is one, I think, of the most primal, archetypal, mythic stories that will resonate with anyone that has even half a brain, half a heart, or half a soul. Jacob is desolate. He sent his family ahead. Mm-hmm. He's alone. Jacob is in darkness. All of this happens at nighttime. Which reminds me, I think it was Ernest Hemingway who commented, quote, "For the alcoholic, it's always 3:30 in the morning." The darkness. He was desolate, he was dark, and he was disadvantaged. He's fighting against an anonymous adversary. And his body becomes damaged. All of us, and I say this without any expectation of contradiction, which actually is the way I speak generally, but this particular, all of us know what it is to have the agony of wrestling with God, with life, with ourselves. We may keep it to ourselves, but we wrestle. Now, Jacob had wrestled before several times. As he leaves the womb of his mother, he grasps the heel of his twin Esau. He wrestles even in the womb. He pulls him back so he can emerge the firstborn. He wrestles, but in fact, he fails. Then as he plans to marry his love, Rachel, again, he wrestles with Laban, her father. He wrestles, but he fails. He comes out of it not a very nice person. But now Jacob is at a watershed, a seminal moment. He is at a crisis in his life. Everything hangs on his perseverance, but also on his preservation. Let me explain this as clearly as I can. Reflecting upon pastoral conversations and personal experience, I know that we often commit to a path of perseverance, to being gritty. But in the process, we become resentful, angry, crabby people. It's almost as if we've forgotten the holy and healthy purpose for which we are persevering, and we get consumed by just being persevering. I once had somebody say to me in a parish, clergy hear the most wonderful of things, say, "I don't like you, but I'm really working on it." I don't want to know that. You truly can keep that to yourself. You see, what happens now with Jacob is that he is not only persevering, but God has taken control. God is preserving him, keeping him healthy, functional, sane. And so the name Jacob, cheater, is discarded, and he emerges from this battle a new man with a new name, the one who has prevailed with God, wrestled with God, and prevailed. It's worthwhile persevering if we can keep healthy. I wasn't going to tell you this story, but I will. A young pastor was sitting in a restaurant eating lunch, and he opened a letter from his mother, and a $20 bill dropped out. He thought, wonderful, just what I need. But as he left the restaurant, he saw this poor man huddled by a street lamp, and he thought, now I'm going to do the right thing. So he put the $20 bill back in the envelope. He wrote persevere on the envelope and just dropped it by the man. 2 days later, as he's in the restaurant, this man comes back and taps him on the shoulder. And he gives him a wallet, an envelope full of banknotes. The minister says, what's this? He said, well, you wrote persevere. He was in the fourth race. I put all the money on him, and look what I won. This is your part of the proceeds. Unimaginable blessings come to those who persevere. Jacob, now Israel, is blessed. He is gifted beyond all expectations because he persevered, but he did it in a healthy way. God preserved him. Listen to our prayer for today. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ preserve the works of your mercy that your church may persevere. Listen to St. Paul writing to the ingenue minister, Timothy, continue, persevere in what you have learned. Be persistent. And today's gospel, Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. A widow in that city kept after him. It went on and on and on. But she gets what she wants. And then Jesus comments, rather sadly, how much of this persistent faith will I find when I come back to earth? You know, rarely do I delve into dusty tomes of Bible concordances and dictionaries. I did yesterday. I was almost suffocated by the dust that came off them. But I looked up the word wrestling, and this is what I found. The Hebrew word for wrestle is, phonetically, orbach. And its root has to do with dust, dirt. So you see, the one who wrestles must expect to get dusty, dirty, but still to keep clean. Friends, some of you, I have persevered for so long over particular or personal matters. At sad times, we despair of change. At happier times, we repair to perseverance. So to keep us healthy, preserved in this task of perseverance, I suggest four steps and then I finish. One, recognize the presence of God in your struggle. The face of God, Penuel, was there. Be bold with God and ask for blessings. Don't mess around. Accept your self-limitations, whether it be a hip that doesn't work or a faith that doesn't seem strong. And finally, know that dawn will come. As it says in the story, the dawn will come. The sun will arise. Amen.